before you today to worship you, to bless your name, to be in your presence, to honor you today. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Thank you. Thank you, Abba. Father, we bless you. Hallelujah. We bless your name in this place. Yes, Lord. We give you glory today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Any way you want to bless us, Lord, we'll be satisfied today. Thank you, God. Have your way in this place. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We're nothing apart from you. We're nothing, God, without you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We bless your name in this place. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Bless your name. Thank you, Deacon Steve, our worship leader today, and to the choirs, the praise team, musicians, ushers, media ministry, all that serve today, church school, transportation ministry, every part of this branch of Zion. We thank God for you, for your ministry. We give God praise for your faithfulness, for your sacrifices, and for your service. Thank you, Deacon Branch, for blessing us with a powerful testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness. Yes, sir. Bless the Lord. Thank you for your kind words, sir. We just bless God for you and just for your family. Just thank you for your encouragement. And we just give God praise. God is good. He is faithful. And whatever we do all to the glory of God and by the grace of God. And without him, without the Lord Jesus, without his precious Holy Spirit, we would be nothing. We could do nothing. And so to God be all the glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, while you're turning there, we're just listening and basking in the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah, God. We bless your name today. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Father, we want you to be glorified in this place. We want you to be exalted in this place, God. We want you to fill this place with your presence. Fill this place with your glory. Fill this place with your power, with your anointing. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Continue to transform your people. Continue to heal. Continue to restore and deliver in the precious name of Jesus. Continue to instruct and inform us according to your perfect will and your perfect ways. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank you. Yes, Lord, we praise your name. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Jesus. For you are our, you're our fortress. You're our fortress. You're our deliverer. Lord, in you do we trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Can we say that again? Praise the name. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. For you are rock and you are fortress. You are deliverer. Yes, you are. In you do we trust.
your name, Lord Jesus. One more time, praise the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. For you are rock, yes. You are fortress, our strong tower, our deliverer, Lord, in you. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. You are rock, yes, Lord. And you are our fortress, you are our deliverer, and you will we trust. Lord, we praise your name, Lord Jesus. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh yes, we do praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. We read in the word that he inhabits the praises of Israel and the praises of his people. Seems to me if we want him to dwell, we ought to praise him more. You think? You think? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he deserves it. It's his. It's rightfully his. He loves it when his people recognizes him, not because, you know, he needs the applause, but it speaks to our understanding of just how great he is and who he is. You know, you see, God needs nothing from man to still be God, but we need everything from God to be who we are and who he's called us to be. Jesus said, if they don't praise me, the very rocks would cry out. Amen. God will be praised. He will be glorified. He will be exalted. The name of the Lord Jesus will be praised. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. The question is, will his people who are called by his name, who depend on him and rely upon him, will we praise him and bless him and bow down and worship him and honor him and glorify him and exalt his name? Or not? I mean, you know. I think we'll stop there. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Over the last week or so, last week in particular, we talked about the importance of seizing the day that God has given us and living in the now, in the moment of the blessings of God, not allowing the enemy to steal and to rob us of such a precious gift and blessing that our Father has given us in this day. We talked about God wanting us to recognize that everything in this day he's blessed, he's provided, so that his people will have the opportunity to fully enjoy it and also to be effective and to be fruitful and productive in the day that the Lord has made. Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him about praying, he said, I want you to pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us today everything that we need to sustain us, to keep us, to provide for us, to give us the joy and the blessing of this day. Not to be caught up in the past or so living in the future. While we know God has given us a future, He has a plan, an expected end, a future, a hope for us, that we miss out on the blessings and the favor of today. And we finished up in Hebrews, the latter part of chapter 3 into the first part of chapter 4, reminding us that the scripture says, today, when you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as the others did in past, in the day that they provoked me, you know, and they saw my anger, they saw my wrath. He says, but while it is today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, but be open to what God is saying and what he is doing today. There are so many wonderful blessings that God has provided in this day. It would be a shame to waste them, to miss out on them, you know, to be so worried about tomorrow and so in knots and so disturbed that we miss the joy of the faithfulness and the presence of God. That's essentially what we talked about last week. Remember, God is with us. Jehovah Shammah. He is here. He is present. So he wants us to rest and worship him and bless him and enjoy this time. So for the next few minutes or so, be here. If you weren't here before, be here. Be in the moment. Listen to what God is going to say to his people this morning. Because he is a faithful, loving God. Wonderful instructions for his people if we will heed them. So in chapter 4, just going to add a couple of verses and then we're moving on. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse number 4. For he spake in a certain day of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached did not enter in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, the King James reads, but other translations, if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, let us work, let us desire, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief or disobedience. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We thank God for his blessed and powerful word. We've just come out of 31 days of prayer here at the church. Amen. And it was a tremendous blessing. And I thank God for everyone that attended, whether it was one day or any of the days, those that maybe could not come in person, but you were praying wherever you are at different times. And even after we ended on Wednesday night, those that continued to pray for the church and just pray for our prayer list and all kinds of things that's going on. Thank you all so much. We got some praise reports. But we know that there will be many, many other things yet to come as we see, or we may not always see, the results and the benefits of the times that we spent in prayer. But I believe, I'm convinced that they will have kingdom implications, spiritual blessings for the people of God, and even those that our prayers went out to in this nation and all around the world. Even the unborn, those that aren't even born yet, that God is working on their behalf in part because of the prayers that the saints offered up in this place. So to God be the glory. And we're going into Vacation Bible School starting tomorrow night. And I think, again, dinner starts around 5:30. And then VBS starts around 6:15. We have classes for all ages. Please invite someone, encourage someone throughout the week, more than someone, some ones, some people, to come and join us during this week. It's always a blessing, but I just believe God is going to even take us further and deeper this year. We're dealing with kingdom stewardship and really what it means biblically and what it means for us really to be children of God who he has empowered with his resources in order to be fruitful, to be productive, to be a blessing to the world. And, you know, it's going to be good. It's going to be blessed. I encourage you to come. So while we've been preparing for that, coming out of prayer and going into Vacation Bible School, the Lord sent forth a word during our prayer time through Minister Johnson. And the word really dealt with what God was establishing in this hour, in this time for us and for his people. It's my words here, 21st century Goshen, and how God is preparing and establishing a Goshen for his people, even in the midst of unrest, in the midst of shortage and lack that's in the land and throughout the world. We talked about the housing industry collapse of 2007, 2008, and how a lot of people lost a great portion of their wealth, especially for black people and people of color, because most of our wealth is in our home ownership. And those that had homes, that represented the greatest part of wealth for most people of color in this country, those that had a home. But you know, the home industry took a major hit and downturn along with other, economic factors, and many people lost substantial equity that they once had in their homes. A lot of people were underwater. A lot of people ended up selling or going into foreclosure. It really was a
terrible time for people. And while things have turned around and now the housing industry is back and you see houses that once sold at one price, the prices are just outrageous now. But we need to know, saints, that this is still temporary. You know, people are talking about the stock market and how it reached its high again, the highest it's ever been. I mean, that's great for people that have stocks. But only some 40% of Americans have even money, have some stocks in their portfolio. So everybody's not benefiting even when the stock market does well. And everybody doesn't benefit necessarily when the wealthy get wealthier. Because you've heard of this theory of trickle-down economics. Unfortunately, it doesn't always trickle down. You know, there's one thing to be wealthy, and I'm not against wealth. I think I'm wealthy. I think we're some wealthy people. God has no problem with wealth. It's different than being wealthy and being greedy. There's a difference in being wealthy and oppressing others for the sake of wealth, to gain more wealth. And so God wants us to understand money. He wants us to understand the resources and everything that he's invested in us, the gifts and talents, the abilities, the time that he's given us. He wants us to understand his purposes for everything that he's given, everything that he's done, to see how the world has really contaminated, perverted the things of God, and to really see how his kingdom works. So that we can make sure that we're seeking to do things God's way and reaping the blessings from it. And so when the word came forth during prayer concerning this modern time Goshen that God was going to release to his people, with the stipulation and the understanding that we have to do things God's way. We have to hear what God is saying and then get in step with what God is doing. I knew it was in line with the word that the Lord had been giving us, because that's the same thing that we've been talking about for how long? We've got to get off of the world system, get on God's ways of doing things. God is able to take care of his people in drought, in famine, in lack, in shortage. God will provide for his people. That's the Goshen message. So if you really want to understand it, when you get time, go back to Genesis and read latter part of chapter 46 into the 47th chapter. I'm going to summarize it this morning, but when you get a chance, go and read it. Joseph has revealed his identity, his true identity to his brothers. You know, there's been severe famine in the land, in all around Egypt. And in Egypt as well. But because God had given Joseph a dream of how to prepare in the times of plenty, when the severe famine came, Joseph had collected so much and stored it up for the house of Pharaoh that when the famine came, people started coming from all around to buy grain and to buy what they needed from Joseph. You know, God had set him up and established him to bring prosperity to the house of Pharaoh and into Egypt. So Joseph's brothers had traveled there. When you get a chance, read it. We don't really have the time today. And he hid his identity from them. And through a series of events, they had to come back. And they had to come back. It's a really interesting and powerful account. I really do encourage you to read it. On this last journey, he couldn't take it anymore. So he reveals himself to his brothers that I am Joseph. I am your brother, the one that you all had thrown in the pit, the one that you all sold into slavery. I am Joseph. And after this, they hugged and embraced and everything. He sends them back. I want you to go tell my father that I'm alive and I want you all to come here. So they go back and they tell their dad, Jacob, that your son Joseph is alive. And at first he didn't believe it and says his spirit left him. He really fainted, so to speak. And finally he came to and they persuaded him that yes, he really is alive. And so he says,
my son lives. I got to go and see him. So they round up everybody, all of their family, all of their families, all of their livestock, all of their belongings. And they begin to journey from Canaan into Egypt. Joseph tells Pharaoh, you know, that my father, my brethren, my brothers, they are coming. You know, and they're coming here, and when they get here, would you be favorable to them, and so on. He already prepared them, his brothers. When you get here, Pharaoh is going to ask you, you know, what do you do for a living? You know that? You think that question just came up. He's been asking that question for a long time. What does your family do for a living? He says, now when Pharaoh asks you this, I want you to tell him, you know, that we are herdsmen. You know, we are herdsmen. Of course, we have sheep and flocks, but we are herdsmen, and our forefathers have been herdsmen. And when you come into the land, get this, I want you all to come into Goshen. So Joseph tells them where to go when they come. When you come into Egypt, you go to Goshen. Now he goes to Pharaoh and he tells Pharaoh, my father's coming and my brothers are coming with him. And if you would be so pleased, would you allow them to settle in Goshen? And Pharaoh gives leave. Pharaoh says, okay, when they come, all of Egypt is before you. Yes, they can come and they can settle into Goshen and they can live there. And of course, if there are any among you that are skillful in different things, you can take them and set them as captains or as leaders in other areas. Look how God is working things out, saints. So now when they come and they meet Pharaoh, and they talk to Pharaoh. I just want to share this part because I think it's just a blessing. Turn there quickly, Genesis chapter 47. Now, I'm supposed to be summarizing, but I want us to see this part. Genesis chapter 47. So now they come to Pharaoh, and certainly they tell Pharaoh that what they do and that they are herdsmen and everything, and we have no pastures for our flocks around verse 4. The famine is sore in the land of Canaan. So now we pray, let thy servants dwell where? In the land of Goshen. Okay. So Pharaoh says to Joseph, your father, your brethren, tell them, come, the land is before thee. Yes, they can settle in the land of Goshen and make them rulers over my cattle and so on. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before, this is verse 7 for those who are with me, before him, Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. I want y'all to see that. Pharaoh is the king. Pharaoh is the ruler of all of Egypt. Jacob comes in before Pharaoh, and the Bible says Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Huh? Why? Because the blessing of God isn't on Pharaoh. The blessing of God is on Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have the blessing of God on their lives. So when Jacob comes into Pharaoh, Pharaoh doesn't bless Jacob. Jacob has the blessing of God. He blesses Pharaoh. Okay. Next verse. I'm not done with that, but just want to see the next verse. Verse number what? 8. Okay. And Pharaoh says to Jacob, the days of your years of your pilgrimage, how old are you? I want you to get this, for I promise I hadn't planned to stay here because this isn't really the message, but it's important. Jacob answers Pharaoh and says, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, few and evil have the days of my years of my life been. Stop for a minute. It's an and. So he says, I'm 130 years old. It's few days, but they've been hard. They've been hard, but I ain't been here but for a little while. I'm 130 years old, but my days have been few and they've been hard. All right, let's read the rest of the verse. And have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. In other words, I ain't old as my daddy's were, my father's were. I'm 130, but I'm just a little tot. You know.
Think about that. He's 130, but I haven't even attained to the years of my fathers yet. They lived a whole lot older than me, Pharaoh. Just something to think about. We are God's people, folks. We ain't got to die at 60 and 70 and 80 and 90 and 100. We don't have to die at that. If you live a good life and you go to be with the Lord, praise God. Whatever time you go, praise. But if you can live. And live a good life to the glory of God, huh? He says, I'm 130 years old, Brother Kevin, and I'm just a young guy. My days have been few, but they've been hard. But I haven't lived as long as my fathers. Okay. In verse 10, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from Pharaoh. Brothers and sisters, we've shared it before, but I want you to just get this. Whenever we go as the ambassadors of the kingdom of God, as citizens of heaven, the sons and daughters of God, we carry the blessing. That's why when you go on a job, you need to go on the job realizing that, yes, I'm going to get a paycheck, but I'm here to be a blessing. This place where I'm employed can be blessed because I'm here. This place can increase because I'm here. Things can change here because I'm here. The opportunity for this company to grow has just gotten better because I'm here carrying the blessing of the Lord. We've got to begin to think the way God instructs his people to think. Yes, I'm going to get a paycheck. But I'm here for something greater than the paycheck. I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here to bring some light in a place that may be filled with darkness. I'm here to bring a different spirit, a different culture, a different environment to this atmosphere. That's why we do a grave disservice when we get caught up in the office politics or the water cooler stuff, as they used to call it, because we're allowing them to steal the anointing and the ability for us to be a blessing and contaminate it to bickering and arguing and getting caught up in the junk and in the mess and in the minutia. When God sends us there to be a blessing, and if they'll receive the blessing, then this place will be better off. And if they don't want to be blessed by it, I'll stay here till God tells me it's time to leave. Then I'll just take my own blessed self and take my blessing with me. Amen. You know, we used to say back in the day, going on with your bad self. But we changed that. We going on with our blessed self. I'm just going on in the name of the Lord with my blessed self. If you want me here, good for you. If you don't want me here, that's all right. I'm still blessed. I'll just go and prosper somewhere else. Come on, y'all. That's the way God wants his people to begin to see things. Yes, there is an exchange. I'm going to get a paycheck, but, you know, as we say, don't get it twisted. You ain't got to say that to them. You mean you can say that in your... No, don't say that to them, Sis Jackie. Don't say that to them. Don't tell them don't get it twisted. You just have it in your own mind. I'm here to be a blessing. Apostle told me to tell y'all, don't get it twisted. No. No, that's your own thought processes. Now understand why you're there. Okay. So Jacob blesses Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the king, but Jacob is the man of God with the blessing. And the man of God with the blessing blessed the king. Right? Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews, it talks about that the lesser is always blessed by the greater. I think it's around the 7th chapter. And it says, without contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater. He used the example then of Melchizedek and Abram, and how Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the king of peace, blessed Abram. And he says, without contradiction, the lesser is always blessed by the greater. Pharaoh is the king, but Jacob was the greater. So the greater blessed the lesser. Oh, it'll click. It'll click, Deacon Larry. It'll click eventually. We'll understand the thing. We are kingdom citizens. Your boss is the boss. He or she has more money. He or she owns the company. But you're there to be a blessing to that environment while you're there. All right. Okay. So quickly, verse number 11. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them possession in the land of Egypt. Listen to this. In the best, there you go, of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh commanded. Who told him to go to Goshen? Joseph. Who asked Pharaoh, could they go to Goshen? Joseph. Who placed them down in Goshen? Joseph. What was the land of Goshen? The best. The best. God brought his people into the land, into the best of the land. Perfect for their herds. Perfect for their cattle. Perfect for them. So when the word goes forth, God has prepared a Goshen in this 21st century for his people. We need to realize God is going to set us in the best, in the perfect condition, in the perfect position, in the perfect environment. No matter what's going on all around us, God has prepared a Goshen. A perfect place for his people to dwell. A perfect place for his people to rest. Perfect place. Now, if you fast forward quite a while, you find out that not too long after this, Joseph dies. Everybody, Exodus chapter 1. Joseph dies. Everybody of that generation dies of the people of Joseph. And it says there arose a king, a Pharaoh, that knew not Joseph. And they began to oppress the children of Israel. Now they went down there, brothers and sisters. It was about 70 of them. Remember, Joseph is already there. Jacob comes and brings his clan. It was about 70 of them. The Bible says they multiplied. And they begin to multiply. And it says every time they oppressed them, they grew more. Every time they oppressed them, instead of stamping them out, they just increased and multiplied more and more. See, we are children of God. God protects and covers us. And the things that the enemy means for evil, God can take those same things and bless us right in the midst of our enemies. The Bible says that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Huh? He's going to feed me in the presence of my enemies. He's going to provide for me in the presence of my enemies. He's going to bless and favor us in the presence of our detractors, in the presence of your accusers, in the presence of those that hate you, in the presence of your enemies. God is able and willing to bless us in the presence of your enemies. You can prosper in your job while there are people around plotting and scheming against you, if we do it the way God instructs us to do it. Well, you don't understand. They scheming. They plot and they plan. No, I understand. And God understands too. God sees it all. He knew all that before he sent you there. There was going to be some people plotting and planning and scheming against you. The question is, what you going to do about it? What you do about it? You pray. You said, God, I believe you sent me here. Am I supposed to stay here or is it time for you to take me somewhere else? If God says it's time for you to stay, then he's giving you peace. He's going to give you rest right there while they're acting a fool and plotting against you. Remember the scripture says they'll come against you one way, but they'll flee how many ways? Seven ways. In other words, they are unified when they come. You know, they got together, they schemed, they plotted this thing out, they worked this thing out, they on one accord when they come, but by time God finishes with them, every man for himself. Save yourself, I'm out of here, huh? Yeah, that's what he's saying, they'll come against you unified. But when God finishes working in that situation, it's every man for himself. And they're looking around, I thought you had my back. Now they're mad at each other and fussing at each other. Y'all know how it works. So God wants them to understand, God blessed them in Goshen. And when they were oppressed by the new Pharaoh and the people with him, it says instead of them being annihilated, they grew more. They flourished more. They grew and expanded. And by the time they came out of Egypt, you'll know it was like 2.5, almost 3 million people. 70 people went down into Egypt. By the time they came out, the estimates were 2 to 3 million people came out. God knows how to bless. God knows how to increase. God knows how to multiply. God knows how to protect the seed of God and to cause multiplication and increase. We just need to trust God to be God and to do what he said he would do. Okay. So even in the midst of it, he blesses them. So here we go. So they're in the land of Canaan. Why is this important? Because now, you know, the edict goes out. I don't have time for all of this. But just think about this. They were scheming. We've got to stop them from multiplying. How do we stop them from multiplying? Kill the males. Get the midwives and tell the midwives if they're girls, let them live. But if they are boys, kill them. And the Bible says the midwives feared God more. And when the males were born, the midwives spared them. When Pharaoh asked, didn't I give you instructions? This is what the midwives said. I know what you said, Pharaoh, but by the time we got to the house, they had already had the baby. Yeah, we know, but by the time we got there to deliver, they had already had the baby. God knows how to preserve his people. All right, so here's the thing. God's going to bring them out. And I got to fast forward. I'm covering a whole lot of time now. God's ready to bring them out. Moses is born. Moses is hidden. Moses is grown. Moses realizes who he is. God sends Moses now and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh doesn't want to let God's people go, so God's going to send these plagues. But when you read it, when God gets ready to send the plagues on Egypt, he tells Moses to make sure you want the people to understand these plagues are going to take place, but not in Goshen. They're going to be frogs. It's going to be lice. Going to be boils, but not in Goshen. All these things are going to take place in Egypt, but not in Goshen. God took care of his people in Goshen. Amen. So we need to understand and prepare ourselves, because as God ushers us and moves us forward, church, if we obey the instructions of God, he's going to take care of us no matter what's going on around you. If the housing market collapses again, God's going to take care of his people. If companies all of a sudden just start deciding we're shutting up shop and we're closing down and we're laying off 2,000, 8,000, 20,000, 30, God's going to take care of his people. But we've got to buy in to doing this thing God's way. We just have to. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians were asleep the last time and got caught up in that collapse, lost a lot of money, or like I said, you lost, you just lost in that transition. You lost equity in your home. Some lost their home. Some lost. But this time, God wants us to be awake. At some point, God's people have got to learn. I'm able to protect you. I want to protect you. I'll set up things for you. But you got to hear me. And you got to follow my instructions. Just that simple. Remember the Bible says that God changes not. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's true. So what did God do to protect his people? He gave them instructions or commandments. What is God going to do to protect his people in this generation? He's going to give us instructions. And if we follow the instructions, we'll be safe. If we dismiss or reject the instructions, we'll get caught up again in the same mess that the rest of the world is caught up in. And it's going to be up to us. We're just going to have to decide. This time, I'm going to obey God's instructions. Amen. He's going to give us instructions to get us out of debt. God told his people, he said, listen, Moses, I want you to tell my people. We looked at it a few weeks ago. I think it was in, Exodus chapter 28 or Deuteronomy, chapter 28, where you got the blessing and the curses, Deuteronomy 28. And we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, how God, in those 13 verses, enumerated what the blessing would be for those that would heed his voice and follow his instruction. And he says, I will make you the head and not the tail. God says, I will make them the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. God's desire for his people is not that we be enslaved. Not that we be walked over like a doormat. Not that we be taken advantage of. He says, you will lend to others, but you won't borrow. God wants to put us in a position where we don't have to borrow. Now, borrowing, brothers and sisters, is not a sin. It's just not the best position to be in. It's just not the best position to be in. The best position to be in is when you don't have to borrow, but you're in a position to lend. Everybody's not in that position yet, particularly if you're buying a home. For many, if you're buying a car, you need transportation. Most people can't pay cash for their car. Most people can't afford to wait until they save enough money to buy a car because they need transportation now. But by all means, God wants us to get the mindset that this is temporary. I'm here now. It's a means to an end, but I'm not going to stay in this position for the rest of my life where I have to keep borrowing and borrowing, paying someone else crazy interest rates. Amen. We're not going to be much longer because we still got communion. So God wants to turn this thing around. God's kingdom operates differently. God can get us out of debt overnight. The problem is many of us wouldn't learn that lesson and we'll be back in debt the next night. Been in the wilderness too long, Minister Gloria said. So even when God takes us out of the wilderness, he got to change that wilderness mentality. Amen. That's why it doesn't matter how much money you make. The more you make, the more you spend. Let me give you this. this. I was listening to something. This been a couple of few weeks ago. I just wasn't able to share it yet. And they were giving statistics on household wealth in the United States and the wealth disparity in family among ethnic groups, among races. And check this out. From 2014, 15, 16, they do it every 3 years, 2014, 15, 16. So now you have 17, 18, and 19 will be coming out in around 2020 sometime. The median wealth of white families in the U.S. is $171,000. That's the median wealth. $171,000. The median wealth for black families, $17,600. And that wasn't a typo. No, that wasn't a typo. $17,600, the median wealth for black families during that period, next to $171,000 for the median white family in the United States. Now, there are a lot of factors, obviously, that contribute to that. But, folks, we ain't poor no more. We may not have everything we want. Some of us may be having a little harder time than we once did, but we're not poor anymore. We have a lot of money that goes through our hands, but that's exactly what's happening. It's going through our hands. We're not saving much. Most of our families don't even have a savings account. We're not saving much. We're investing less. We're not owning businesses. So all of our money is just coming in and going out. We're wasting it on pleasure. You know, hey, I ain't got much. I won't feel good about myself. I might not have no money, but I sure look good. Might not have no money, but I sure look good. I'm telling you that. I'm going to look good. I'm going to get me a nice car. I'm going to the show. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to see Frankie Beverly. He might not be singing like he used to sing, but I'm going to the jazz festival. I'm going to have some fun. And then I'll just pay for it the rest of the year. We got to turn this around. Some folks can't even afford to bury themselves. Well, they ain't going to bury themselves anyway. Somebody else going to bury them, but they can't afford to pay for it. We got to turn this around, brothers and sisters. And it ain't just a black thing, brown thing, white thing. It's a God's people thing. But I hear Paul writing, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that they be saved. For I declare they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Folks, I'm a preacher for all folks. I love God's kingdom, going to have everybody in it. But I want to see black folks come up out of this despair and lack and shortage and bondage. Amen. Amen. And folks, it's poor white folks, poor black folks, poor brown folks. It's poor folks across the spectrum. Because the systems of this world are designed that way. We talk about it all the time. They don't care what color you is. If they can keep you poor, then you will fight against each other for the leftovers. And then it'll be whites pitted against blacks and browns pitted against this group because all of them struggling, fighting for that small piece of pie. When the top 1% has more than almost 40% of the wealth in this country. And the bottom 90% has over 77% of the debt. So I'll just keep y'all broke. And meantime, we'll keep getting wealthy. We'll keep passing laws that make us wealthier. We'll keep lobbying to make sure we get more of what we want. And you all will keep getting less and keep fighting over that. And then it's racial tension and it's this and it's that, because I don't care. Y'all kill each other. Just give me more money. But God's system doesn't work that way. God's kingdom is a commonwealth for real, where all of God's people benefit from the resources of heaven, which are limitless. But we got to wake up, folks. We got to decide, you know, how much more junk do I need? How much more depreciating things do I need? Do I have anything that appreciates in value? Or is everything my money is spent on gone down the drain? Amen. And in case y'all wondered, I'm preaching to me too. I ain't just preaching to y'all, I'm preaching to me too. How many pair of alligator shoes do I need? What you pointing at me for? How many pair of alligator shoes and crocodile shoes do you need? Elder, look down. Yeah, I got on crocodile this morning, Elder. I didn't pull out the gators this morning. I put on the crocodile. But how many pair do you need? Or how many pair do I need? Amen. How many alligator belts do you need, preacher? Huh? Don't y'all laugh. How many pocketbooks y'all need? In the same color. Well, you need the big one, and you need the long one, and you need the clutch, and you need the... I'm sorry, Elder. Huh? Amen, preacher. How many Louis Vuittons do you need? How many red bottoms do you need? Somebody said, just one. All I want is one. I just want one pair. I just want one. All right, let's see if we can't wrap this up. The point is, look, you can do what you want with your money. You can buy anything you want with your money. You can do it, handle it anyway. But God wants to show his people a better way. He wants to show us a better way, so that we can be the lender and not the borrower. So that we can get out of debt and stay out of debt. So that when he delivers us this time, we won't go back into bondage. But we'll be disciplined and we'll be able to really be a blessing to the next generations that are coming up behind us. That's what God wants to change, is our mindsets. Amen. So I'm be getting rid of some of those gators if y'all wear my size. We're going to be getting rid of some of this stuff. But we're going to be getting rid of some of it. It got to go. Got to go. Got to go. Got to go. Yeah. But folks, there is a kingdom way. See, God could get us out of debt overnight, miraculously, supernaturally. God could get us out of debt. But if we don't learn discipline, we'll be right back in it. Huh? Right? God can give you increase. God can give us more money in our paycheck. You can get a big bonus. You could get more money in your paycheck. But what are we going to do? If we don't learn discipline, we're just going to take the more money and spend it. Instead of taking that extra money and say, listen, I got some more money. God, where do you want me to invest? Let me start saving some money. Let's build up some money on hand in case you get hit with something unexpected, that we'll be able to pay for it without having to put it on the credit card. God, begin to show me some wisdom in how to do these things, so that not only will I be blessed, but the generations that are behind me, I can really give them something. With the values of faith in God, I can give them something that will put them ahead of the game. Folks, it doesn't matter how far, you know, all these folks now, they're talking about everything's equal and I wasn't there doing slavery. No, you might not have been there, but you benefited from the system, because your people benefited from the system. I don't care how fast you are. I know LeBron James has this new show out where they give the people a head start and then the professionals, the athletes try to catch them and beat them. Folks, but if you got 200 years a head start, 300 years head start, how you think I'm going to catch up? The only way I can catch up is God. You got 300 year head start, then you telling me all things equal. Ain't slavery no more. Well, you go back there and give me the head start. I bet you be singing a different tune then. Oh, okay. Folks, we're just about done. But think about this. We're going into Vacation Bible School, and I encourage you to come out. I know the crew, Sister Rainbow, and those working with her, I know they've done an excellent job. And we're just going to let God give us some basic principles, again, to get us started refocusing. And then over the next number of weeks, we'll be sharing messages from the Word of the Lord that will go along with what's being done in Vacation Bible School. So we can start when we hear His voice. We won't harden our hearts, but we will listen attentively to what God is saying. And by faith, we will do what God instructs us to do. It may seem strange. It's going to take some discipline. But we can do it. We can do it. Folks, people are getting out of debt all over this world. People who don't know God. Because they're willing to discipline themselves and do certain things. They're learning know-how, how to do things. How to pay off this credit card. How to do this. How to do that. And they're getting out of debt and many of them don't even know God. How much more should the people of God be listening to our God and walking in victory? And good success and overcoming the testings and the trials of the enemy. So we're done for this morning, but just think about that. When you hear God's voice, He's going to start giving us instruction.